It's Lindsay Shooter's IT editor for Buzz Community. At the moment, the Apple Vision Pro is probably the hottest topic in tech. Full disclosure, I hate VR. Actually, let me qualify. I don't like the idea of putting screens very close to your eyeballs in a headset or a pair of goggles that is blocking you off from the rest of the world. I don't see it as a value for society right now. But then I spoke to Mitham Singh, Chief Services Officer at CCI, and the MD of one of CCI's subsidiaries, CareerBox. They operate out of KZN. They're training kids to go into high-end call centers. Lizelle Stradom, they told me a story about technology adoption in the contact centers and in contact center training. So all those call center kids are using VR headsets to have experiences that they otherwise could never.
Has CareerBox seen a decline in the demand for entry-level digital jobs? Like within your career readiness, job readiness, have you? What are the customers saying? What kind of demands are being placed on your business right now?
Actually, the answer is no. So we haven't seen a decline. We've seen an increase. I think our view on why the increase in the demand is based on, while AI is evolving, it's taking more of the entry level, quick automated jobs, and the more complex jobs, more complex requirements is what's coming in. And there's now a high demand that AI is not quickly fixing, that customers now want to speak to somebody, or it's more complicated than a bot requirement. And that's where we're seeing the demand come from. So it's actually increased, particularly in the US space. I can't say in a specific industry. Yeah. So it's from retail. We just saw an increase now because of Black Friday. So online sales, we've seen an increase there. We've seen an increase in telco. We've seen an increase in aviation. There's a large focus on our ability as South Africans and Africans' natural ability to solve complex requirements. And hence, we've seen an increase or demand for those specific roles.
Awesome. That leads into my next question, like the impact that AI has had. So obviously you said now it's been taking up all of those low skill jobs, those entry level things that can all be automated by bots. And now it's like becoming a lot more complex. So how does that impact your business? Because now obviously you have to invest in new tools to ready these candidates for these jobs. What kind of tech buying, or how has that increased your tech budgets?
So I'll answer from a CareerBox side, and then Mita, maybe you can answer from a CCI side. I think we've felt fortunate enough to work for an organization or a group of companies that are very forward thinking. Mm. So when people were thinking on, say, AI is coming, and AI was ready, and we were kind of prepared for it in terms of technology. Mm. Our CTO that Mitham also just briefly mentioned is also a very forward thinking. He's always 10 steps ahead of what's happening in the world. But I think from a skill perspective, it's just understanding what the demand is ahead of time. So we do a lot of understanding where the demand is, understanding what does those job roles look like, and then trying to start building the skill earlier. So when those requirements happen, or so when the requirements do come, there's a pool of talented individuals that know how to use the system, are digitally ready, and can occupy those jobs.
Yeah, so maybe I'll just come in there and maybe just, you know, give you some stats also. There's a Deloitte study that's just indicated, and I think it's just come out, indicating that, you know, 80% of people that operate are happy to pay 20% more for personalization. And personalization is becoming a big thing around, AI trends. So to give you an example on that, Lindsay, and, you know, if you take the Nike business, you can buy techies today that are fully customized. You can customize it to your colors. You can put the tick in a specific color that you want. You can put laces that are, you know, specific to yourself. So very, very personalized. And now bring it into the contact center and link that with VR just for a minute, right? And you've got a VR headset, and the kind of agent that we've got that Lizelle would recruit for us in the business would be an entry-level individual that has never sat on an aircraft. but has got to sell a business class seat to a American sitting in Chicago. And all of a sudden, the client says, or the customer says, "What does that business class seat look like on the A380? I've never sat on an A380." Well, perfect. Here goes on this VR headset, and this agent is able to navigate through this and able to give you real life kind of view on it. You know, the fact that you can do VR glasses these days could be, you know, and is a trend that needs to be looked at into it. We will then utilize some of those aspects to do training. So how does it actually feel to walk through the JFK airport in New York? How does it feel? You know, how does it feel to walk through the Dallas airport when it's buzzing and it's pumping and there's so much going on? Actually, I need to go from gate 5 to gate 65. Well, actually, you know what? You need to change terminals. And you, through this VR kind of process, can see what you're going through. Actually, you got to walk through the mall portion before you get to gate 65. Did you know that? You know, so now you're lifting the conversation from a personalization point of view, you know, with that particular customer. Then, if you then bring it through from a data perspective and understanding, because we sit on mountains and mountains of data, right? So we measure at a 15-minute interval all aspects of what's transpiring. I don't know if you're kind of aware of that, but
I
at a
don't, it's
15-minute
nothing.
interval, right? So at a 15-minute interval, so just bear with me for a couple of seconds here. We get calls that are obviously that are, you know, it's a local call in the US or in the UK that hits us literally within a couple of split seconds. And we've got to then staff to that particular demand, and that could be a English speaking, Spanish speaking, in the South African context, English, Afrikaans, Zulu, Sotho, Tsonga, Venda, etc., that would come in, and we need to be ready for that from a language perspective or a skills perspective. Now, the first thing that comes up if somebody's standing in a queue at an airport and has missed a flight is they're irate, or there's an IROP issue. As an example, we had Florida floods a couple of months back, and the airport gets shut down. Now you've got to redirect all of those flights, and they're all calling you all at the same time. You now got to get onto them, and you know AI isn't able to help you with the emotional element of it. So how do we get that particular piece across? So we sit with these hobos and hobos of data, and how do we start linking some of that data to some other aspects? That actually, Lindsay flies every 2 weeks. And he's on a route between Johannesburg and Cape Town, or he's on a route between Chicago and New York. How do we almost preempt that from a predictive analytical perspective? Lindsay, we know you're going to book a flight Friday. We've taken the initiative to tell to secure your seat. We know you like, you know, J45. We've secured J45 for you. We know that when you're on that flight, you are going to purchase A, B, and C drinks, or you enjoy chicken, so therefore your chicken meal will be ready for you. Now you're going, "I'll always fly that particular airline," as an example. So that personalization piece, I think, is something that, you know, AI will enhance, you know, and augment that experience for the agent on the front line.
Where do you source your training from then? Like, obviously you need the skills to be able to deliver that kind of content to the people you are training to do the job. Like, there's that middle space. Is there like another agency that is assisting you with that, Lizelle?
No. So
It is what it is.
no, I think the simple answer is no, but I think what's important from a training aspect is understanding what's the skills gap and what area do we play in and how do we ensure that the training that we provide is fit for purpose. For an example, if we know that there's a demand in the aviation space, how do we make sure we have content and digital equipment that is ready for that demand? So we're very particular in the space that we operate in because that's what we do, because that's what we know we can do. So you won't see us teaching people how to build or build a aircraft or build a a heavy machinery, but we are synonymous in the service space, in the development space, in the soft skill space, and that's what we focus on. So internally within the ClearBox team, we have content designers, we have content designers and content writers that will help and put the material together. But first, with the understanding of what the demand is, What is our subject matter expert? And then we start building it internally. We also get quite a bit of feedback from our clients, our internal team, the internal training departments, and trying to understand what are those skills gap, and then we build our content to maybe to bridge that gap.
And then we would use, learning management systems, LMS systems that would, kind of help us with that. And we would do short
Continued
bits,
learning.
continued learning and micro learning bits that, there's a 2 minute video that you can actually watch on that particular piece. And our managing executive training kind of works on a variety of options. So it's just there's written material, there's written plus video, there's these animated
Experiential.
videos. There we go.
So did you guys like kind of quantify when you were thinking, because you say it's forward-thinking company, but there's only so far forward you can think. So like, AI is coming, you see all the trends happening, you see the technology being built, and then you have to make a decision to be like, this is the product, this is how it's going to affect our product. And then you have to make another decision of like all the internal digital adoption that needs to happen to enable you to create that product and serve that product. So just talk me through that kind of thinking, that kind of strategic like thinking.
So I think a couple of things, and I'll start with maybe again just throwing a bit of a stat out there, right? In terms of some of the channel adoption, because there's also a need for channel adoption. So just to give you an idea, we know through an NTT study that 36%, it's about 37, 35.7 to be exact, of under 25s want to utilize social media. So I've got kids that are teenagers, and they won't even phone to make a reservation at a restaurant because they want to do it online or they want to utilize social media. But yet my parents, who are over 60, 4.8% of over 60s will utilize face-to-face channels, 53 to 54% of the time they want to utilize that. So from an adaptability perspective, looking at those kind of data and stats and then mining it backwards to go, actually, this is how often these individuals actually call the contact center. Now let's customize our elements related to that particular piece. So what we would do is we would roadmap what we call a flight plan. We'd roadmap it out for a 12, 18-month period and then break it up into quarters as to what's possible. So I'll give you an example around, Power BI and utilization of Power BI and Power BI's AI capability with, Python sitting in the background, giving us some of the trends and the data elements to it. And then we take it on a, let's call it a rather than a proof of concept, a proof of value. We know that there's going to be, the concept is great, the concept works. The proof of value piece then just tells us whether how quickly we can expand it from a skills point of view across the board. And you've got to bring, 7,000 people on a journey locally and then expand it to 12,000 across Africa. That becomes a journey. So anyway, with that being said, that those things are kind of, mapped out on a quarter by quarter basis as to what we do with the intent of that's where we're going 18 months from now.
Sticking with CareerBox then, and just like the business model, and I mean you guys have grown quite a lot since I last spoke to you, and congratulations on that and all that success.
Thank you.
It's been amazing to see, and there like but there are other big companies that are kind of encroaching on your market now. So Google and AWS both have free courses of study for digital skills. What other opportunities are there for young people, young South Africans, just focusing on young South Africans wanting to break into this new age of digital jobs? What other opportunities are there for them? And how do you see the workplace readiness training game changing like in the next year?
I think what we had to decide to do, what we decided to do is understand what our core is, and that's what Lindsay, our work readiness training. How do we prepare for digital skills in the BPO industry, service related jobs? Wonderful. And then what we saw was a demand of graduates, super educated, amazing individuals, just can't find a job in whatever field you studied, even maybe not even in the field you studied, if you maybe studied something. And you're just looking for a job. So we saw an influx of graduates coming through the doors, and we thought, okay, what do we do now? Because this person will go into the contact center job because they're desperate, but not necessarily stay for long because this is not what they want to do. We have then partnered. So now we've got another part of the business called CareerBox AI. And it's not CareerBox AI for artificial intelligence, but more CareerBox is CareerBox Africa Innovation. African innovation. And basically, what we focus on with the African Innovation Hub is how do we get graduates or individuals who got a qualification in marketing, executive assistant, coding, software development, that we start to create remote jobs. So you could work for a company that's based in Australia, in the UK, in the US, in Kenya, wherever they're based, in the Philippines, but you're actually still working in South Africa or in your geography, which helps with brain drain. So you're still working in your country where you're located, you're spending your money, you're a taxpayer, but you're still contributing, but you're getting that international exposure. So we now, in within the Africa, within the CareerBox AI Hub, are getting graduates set up with international organizations and aligning their qualifications to them. So I see a big demand because in the Philippines themselves, in the Philippines themselves, they can't get a certain amount of job, certain amount of skills, and if they do get it's expensive. Most people have gone to the US, and in the US, their challenges, people just don't want those jobs, and they see it as low level jobs. Where, yeah, you get paid like you would get paid if you were in the US or at a good, a good income, but you're based in your geography, you're contributing to the economy in which you come from. And I see that model evolving quite a bit.
No, that's interesting. No, great answer. And then just in closing, the workplace is changing so rapidly. How do you guys personally just kind of stay ahead of everything while still doing your job day to day? Like, how do you get ready for the next phase of your job while doing the current one?
Let me start, and Lizelle can pick up because she's the brains. I'm just the looks, right? No, so for me personally, I think it's about understanding what's happening at a macroeconomics level rather than specifically in the contact center space. So if you just think about what Gucci are doing around VR and how they're creating this garden in Florence with the elements related to museums, etc., and creating an experience there. How do we create that experience from a personalization perspective? So you then bring it back, in internally. And then you take something like macroeconomics and the war between, Russia and Ukraine. And you think, well, what is that? How does that influence us here on the tip of Africa? Well, how it influences on the tip of Africa is you're going to cut certain things. All supply becomes a challenge. So commodity pricing goes up. As commodity pricing goes up, disposable income goes down. All of a sudden, the agent that we're recruiting through CareerBox and externally can't get to work because guess what? When we were buying a pie and chips, it was $10. Now you buy a pie and chips, it's $40, right? You buy taxi fares, another $40. You're done. You $80 of the day is gone. So how is that influencing elements? So it's almost understanding what's happening around us at a macro level and the influences that that's having on us here. And then I guess just general research and development, and awareness of what's happening around tech trends that may have nothing to do with contact center, but influences contact center at some point through the customer journey, to bring it back to that personalization piece that we spoke about at a couple of minutes ago. So that's how I'm kind of looking at it almost end to end.
I think the same from me in this, in the aspects of looking, staying on top of things, but looking from an outside view. I have the luxury of traveling quite a bit to understand what's happening in the other pieces of the world, and then coming back home and trying to, like, how does this then impact the work that we're doing? And I think that is one of the things that, not one of the things, the only thing that keeps me on top of my game and keeps me kind of motivated to drive whatever we're doing forward is understanding the impact and how it contributes to the bigger, to the bigger picture. We're competing, Africa, South Africa is competing against the Philippines, against Manila, against the US. And we thought we are just these small little continent that can't, that was our dream. But now we competition, we're beating them in certain things. And we're changing that African narrative that was supposed to be, oh, poor South Africa. It's now no more, oh, poor South Africa or Africa. It's like, what's happening there? We want to be a part of it. And just understanding about the work that we do and how it contributes to how we viewed, how people are viewed. We But I don't, you know, we parents. So, you know, the legacy that we leave for our kids and our kids and our kids as kids, and just to be like a pebble in the sea sand and contribute that much to it is what keeps, I think, us on top of our game and making sure that we constantly up to date.
And maybe one last thing, very, very, very left field. Lizette and I often have this kind of discussion is how do we look at the EQ side of things, and how do we, almost psychology read up and psychology and leadership read up from a psychology perspective. Because even if you think about the conversation we're having today and around, AI and AI elements, how do we start bringing the EQ components that comes from a psychological perspective in, start linking those things. And then you start going, well, okay, how do we link that with the VR process that you can actually. Because, contact center, the agent is getting hammered. It's the one of the, it's the thing is the top three most stressful jobs globally. How do we get them to re-energize? They almost step away, re-energize, and come back. Now they can't in the in maybe the way we set up ergonomically. So could they put on a VR headset, sit in a room for 20 minutes, and they've actually just, had a beautiful swim in the ocean, or they've walked in the forest for 10 minutes, or something of that sort, that they come back re-energized, and not necessarily, having to go out, physically go out somewhere, because some of ours operate overnight, right? So 2 o'clock in the morning around the Somshlanga area, everything's closed. Around our Sandton offices, everything's closed. You can't go to the shop and grab a sandwich, as an example. So how do you create that? You're not operating in natural light. You're always operating under the, an LED or sort. So how do you create some of that, those aspects? And then just, we've been thinking about how do we bring some of the health aspects to it. So things like, delivering fruit on a day-to-day basis to staff rather than, a heavy carbohydrated meal. So